Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 5, Chapter 17. There is but one Lord and one God, the Father and Creator of all things, who has loved us in Christ, given us commandments, and remitted our sins, whose Son and Word Christ proved himself to be when he forgave our sins. Now this being is the Creator, who is in respect of his love the Father, but in respect of his power he is Lord, and in respect of his wisdom our Maker and Fashioner, by transgressing whose commandment we became his enemies. And therefore in the last times the Lord has restored us into friendship through his incarnation, having become the mediator between God and men, propitiating indeed for us the Father against whom we had sinned, and cancelling our disobedience by his own obedience, conferring also upon us the gift of communion with and subjection to our Maker. For this reason also he has taught us to say in prayer, "And forgive us our debts," since indeed he is our Father, whose debtors we were, having transgressed his commandments. But who is this being? Is he some unknown one, and a Father who gives no commandment to any one? Or is he the God who is proclaimed in the Scriptures, to whom we were debtors, having transgressed his commandment? Now the commandment was given to man by the Word. For Adam, it is said, heard the voice of the Lord God. Rightly then does his Word say to man, "Your sins are forgiven you." He, the same against whom we had sinned in the beginning, grants forgiveness of sins in the end. But if indeed we had disobeyed the command of any other, while it was a different being who said, "Your sins are forgiven you," such a one is neither good nor true nor just. For how can he be good who does not give from what belongs to himself? Or how can he be just who snatches away the goods of another? And in what way can sins be truly remitted, unless that he against whom we have sinned has himself granted remission through the bowels of mercy of our God, in which he has visited us through his Son? And therefore, when he had healed the man sick of the palsy, the evangelist says, "The people, upon seeing it, glorified God, who gave such power unto men." What God, then, did the bystanders glorify? Was it indeed that unknown Father, invented by the heretics? And how could they glorify him who was altogether unknown to them? It is evident, therefore, that the Israelites glorified him who had been proclaimed as God by the law and the prophets, who is also the Father of our Lord. And therefore, he taught men, by the evidence of their senses, through those signs which he accomplished, to give glory to God. If, however, he himself had come from another Father, and men glorified a different Father when they beheld his miracles, he, in that case, rendered them ungrateful to that Father who had sent the gift of healing. But as the only begotten Son had come for man's salvation from him who is God, he did both stir up the incredulous by the miracles which he was in the habit of working, to give glory to the Father, and to the Pharisees, who did not admit the advent of his Son, and who consequently did not believe in the remission which was conferred by him. He said, "That you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins." And when he had said this, he commanded the paralytic man to take up the pallet upon which he was lying, and go into his house. By this work of his, he confounded the unbelievers, and showed that he is himself the voice of God, by which man received commandments, which he broke, and became a sinner. For the paralysis followed as a consequence of sins. Therefore, by remitting sins, he did indeed heal man, while he also manifested himself who he was. For if no one can forgive sins but God alone, while the Lord remitted them and healed men, it is plain that he was himself the Word of God made the Son of Man, receiving from the Father the power of the remission of sins. Since he was man, and since he was God, in order that since as man he suffered for us, so as God he might have compassion on us, and forgive us our debts, in which we were made debtors to God our Creator. And therefore David said beforehand, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord has not imputed sin. Pointing out thus that remission of sins which follows upon his advent, by which he has destroyed the handwriting of our debt, and fastened it to the cross, so that, as by means of a tree, we were made debtors to God, by means of a tree we may obtain the remission of our debt. This fact has been strikingly set forth by many others, and especially through means of Elisha, the prophet. For when his fellow prophets were hewing wood for the construction of a tabernacle, and when the iron axe head, shaken loose from the axe, had fallen into the Jordan and could not be found by them, upon Elisha's coming to the place and learning what had happened, he threw some wood into the water. Then, when he had done this, the iron part of the axe floated up, and they took up from the surface of the water what they had previously lost. By this action, the prophet pointed out the sure word of God, which we had negligently lost by means of a tree, and were not in the way of finding again. We should receive anew by the dispensation of a tree. For that the word of God is likened to an axe, John the Baptist declares in reference to it, But now also is the axe laid to the root of the trees. Jeremiah also says to the same purport, The word of God cleaves the rock as an axe. This word, then, what was hidden from us, did the dispensation of the tree make manifest, as I have already remarked. For as we lost it by means of a tree again was it made manifest to all, showing the height, the length, the breadth, the depth in itself. And as a certain man among our predecessors observed, Through the extension of the hands of a divine person, gathering together the two peoples to one God. For these were two hands, because there were two peoples scattered to the ends of the earth. But there was one head in the middle, as there is but one God, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. Chapter 18 God the Father and His Word have formed all created things, which they use, by their own power and wisdom, not out of defect or ignorance. The Son of God, who received all power from the Father, would otherwise never have taken flesh upon Him. And such or so important a dispensation He did not bring about by means of the creations of others, but by his own, neither by those things which were created out of ignorance and defect, but by those which had their substance from the wisdom and power of the Father. For he was neither unrighteous, so that he should covet the property of another, nor needy, that he could not, by his own means, impart life to his own, and make use of his own creation for the salvation of man. For indeed, the creation could not have sustained him if he had sent forth what was the fruit of ignorance and defect. Now, we have repeatedly shown that the incarnate Word of God was suspended upon a tree, and even the very heretics do acknowledge that he was crucified. How, then, could the fruit of ignorance and defect sustain him who contains the knowledge of all things, and is true and perfect? Or how could that creation which was concealed from the Father and far removed from him have sustained his word? And if this world were made by the angels, it matters not whether we suppose their ignorance or their cognizance of the supreme God. When the Lord declared, "For I am in the Father, and the Father in me," how could this workmanship of the angels have borne to be burdened at once with the Father and the Son? How, again, could that creation which is beyond the Pleroma have contained him who contains the entire Pleroma? Inasmuch, then, as all these things are impossible and incapable of proof, that preaching of the Church is alone true, which proclaims that his own creation bore him, which subsists by the power, the skill, and the wisdom of God, which is sustained indeed after an invisible manner by the Father, but on the contrary, after a visible manner, it bore his word, and this is the true word. For the Father bears the creation and his own word simultaneously, and the word borne by the Father grants the Spirit to all, as the Father wills. To some he gives, after the manner of creation, what is made, but to others, after the manner of adoption, that is, what is from God, namely, generation. And thus, one God the Father is declared, who is above all, and through all, and in all. The Father is indeed above all, and he is the head of Christ. But the Word is through all things, and is himself the head of the Church, while the Spirit is in us all, and he is the living water which the Lord grants to those who rightly believe in him, and love him, and who know that there is one Father who is above all, and through all, and in us all. And to these things does John also, the disciple of the Lord, bear witness, when he speaks thus in the Gospel: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made." And then he said of the Word himself, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. To his own things he came, and his own people received him not. However, as many as did receive him, to these he gave power to become the sons of God, to those that believe in his name." And again, showing the dispensation with regard to his human nature, John said, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us." And in continuation he says, "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten by the Father, full of grace and truth." He thus plainly points out to those willing to hear that is, to those having ears, that there is one God, the Father over all, and one Word of God, who is through all, by whom all things have been made, and that this world belongs to him, and was made by him, according to the Father's will, and not by angels, nor by apostasy, defect, and ignorance, nor by any power of Prunicus, whom certain of them also call the mother, nor by any other maker of the world, ignorant of the Father. For the creator of the world is truly the Word of God. And this is our Lord, who in the last times was made man, existing in this world, and who, in an invisible manner, contains all things created, and is inherent in the entire creation, since the Word of God governs and arranges all things. And therefore he came to his own in a visible manner, and was made flesh, and hung upon the tree, that he might sum up all things in himself. And his own peculiar people did not receive him, as Moses declared this very thing among the people, "And your life shall be hanging before your eyes, and you will not believe your life." Those, therefore, who did not receive him, did not receive life. But to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. For it is he who has power from the Father over all things, since he is the Word of God, and true man, communicating with invisible beings after the manner of the intellect, and appointing a law observable to the outward senses, that all things should continue each in its own order. And he reigns manifestly over things visible and pertaining to men, and brings in just judgment and worthy upon all. As David also, clearly pointing to this, says, "Our God shall openly come, and will not keep silence." Then he shows also the judgment which is brought in by him, saying, "A fire shall burn in his sight, and a strong tempest shall rage round about him. He shall call upon the heaven from above, and the earth to judge his people." End of chapter 18.